Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris with me, Sharad Kutan, and thank you so much for spending your Hari Raya with us on the show. We're delighted now to introduce on the line now we have shoe designer Nelissa Hillman. Nelissa, thank you so much for joining us. Selamat Hari Raya to you. How's the first year of Raya going for you?
Selamat hari to you too, and thank you for having me. It's been tiring.
Has it been a quiet one?
Makan
Because
makan, a
this
quiet one, but with the kids and all, it's still a quiet yet hectic day.
Yes,
So
like almost like all days with little children
That's
around.
true.
Nelissa, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up and what Hari Raya was like? What is like for you growing up and Hari Raya?
I'm originally from KL. My mom is from Johor. My dad's some Chinese, so we predominantly celebrate Raya at my mom's house, in my mom's kampung, which was in Muar. So Raya for me and for the rest of my cousins were really, really fun. They were over 30 of us at home at one point. And now looking at what's happening, it's just me and my kids, and there are two other cousins. So it's just four of us.
Right,
And
so a very
oh yeah.
small, quiet Raya celebration. Can I ask you about, because this is our second time dealing with a Raya during the time of a pandemic, and I wanted to ask you about how you've been dealing with that as a businesswoman. Because again, I mean, during Raya, Idul Fitri festive season, that's really a big time for designers like yourself. That's when you release collections. Now that we kind of know a little bit more about the situation, I think last year took everyone off guard, and we weren't quite sure how to, how to plan and how to think about the situation. But now that we know a little bit more about the situation we're in, what is this Raya 2021? What is that like specifically for the Nelissa Hillman brand?
So I think coming to last year, like you said, we were caught off guard. We didn't have a collection to arrive on time, because production was stopped halfway. So there was no, we didn't launch any special collection. We had shoes, but they were just weren't in. And it was everything's up in the air. To be honest, it was full of anxiety, full of stress, not knowing what to expect. And the office was closed. Thankfully, we had our warehouse separated from our office, and we're able to fulfill orders. It wasn't a Raya collection, nothing at all. It was just, shoes that we already had online, and we were just selling those. And then, so fast moving forward a few months later, we thought, okay, we still didn't know how to plan 2021 Raya collection. To be honest, it took us a while to figure out, okay, what do customer want? What do I want as a brand? And that took a while. We were designing collections, and we went back and forth with sampling. We weren't sure that's, customer wants something like this or like that. Eventually we decided, to have a mini collection, put our orders and have the collections in, to be delivered for Raya. But then again, with all the hiccups that we have, we're still launching them. We've not fully launched the entire collection. It's still, halfway. So we have more to go after Raya. So we're looking forward to that.
Nelissa, could you help me understand the kind of production process? I mean, are the shoes well, obviously designed by you, but are they manufactured in Malaysia? Is it a kind of artisanal style workshop, or is it much more kind of on the assembly line end of production?
Basically, we've been proud that since we've launched, I think 10 years back, to be honest, I designed them myself, and then we used to have like a small team designing, but now I'm on my own with a few interns helping. So we have been working with a family-owned factory since we started. So they're very small, and they do, how put it, I would say it's artisanal, because they have like Sifu who has been doing making shoes for maybe like 30 years, and I enjoy working with them. So we get to go down to factories only in Klang Valley, some of them, and we do have some in Ipoh as well, but we have not visited in over a year. So the ones that we can visit, we would work very closely. So I would design them, and then we would go a few rounds on sampling to decide whether the materials or the fit or the sizing is good or not. Once that gets done, I think from design to paper to designing and sampling would take about a couple of months, if not weeks. And then once we have the final sample, and we put our orders in, that would take at least 90 days to turn around. So we would have to wait for materials from, you know, China to come in, the outsole, the midsole, everything to come in together before they could assembly the shoes. So it's a very long process for us, yeah.
Nelissa, you mentioned sourcing the material. I know that sustainability is very important to you, that you want to look at reducing waste through your brands and products, reduce packaging and all that. Tell us a little bit about how, is that difficult to do as a small, you know, as trying to scale? Because you want to make sure that you're ecologically responsible, but also sustainable. Yes, exactly.
So that has been sort of like... So we had a year, right? During COVID, we wanted, I think, okay, when we first started, I was pretty sure that, you know, I wanted to do things sustainably. So when we had leathers back then, we were using like stock leathers from Italy. So we had a supplier who is based in KL and he approached us and, you know, sold us some leathers. Those are from like your luxury brand tanneries. But now looking, because also Malaysia is not known as a material producing country. So we don't have, let's say, TU. Or even pineapple leather, we don't have that yet here. So I'm not, at this point in time, we're importing materials from China. As much as possible, you know, we have our outsole. Our soles are rubber, so they are made in a Malaysian-based factory, which is based in Klang. And we've sort of like met up with them, and they mentioned that the outsole is made of 10% reclaimed rubber. So we go to as deep as getting documentations, if we can, from our producers or suppliers, you know, to have them certify, saying that if this is recycled, can you prove to me or can you have some documentation to show that this is, you know, recycled paper, for example? Or if the materials are, you know, adhering to certain standards, can you show me a certification documentation where I can, you know, look at it and say, okay, I can be more confident of our product and our values. Right. So that's that.
Does it matter to consumers? Are they as conscious about the environmental impact of the goods they buy?
As a business owner, I want to feel, you know, that I'm being honest. I'm honest. I'm truthful about what we're talking about, what we're selling. And as consumers, I think you have a small group that cares about the environment. Right. And they would ask us now, is this, are you sure this is recycled or are you sure, you know, they would ask us. So I, as a business owner, is responsible. And I take, you know, I take pride in knowing, you know, that we are doing all these efforts that we can.
Nelissa, speaking about consumers, I wanted to ask you about consumer behavior and consumer tastes during this time of a pandemic. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm just from personal experience, I've kept my heels locked away for several months now. Yeah. I haven't touched them for about a year.
Okay.
So I'm wondering people are... Sharatu, exactly. Have you noticed a change in consumer trends? Are people kind of adapting to this work from home comfort style? And are you adapting to that in your designs? You know, more flats rather than heels and dress shoes. What are you seeing?
I think I've been. So this was a direction. Like, we're like, okay, what should we do? Part of me wants to stay comfortable. We came out with a range of home sandals made of excess materials. We have that. And then, but our Raya collection, I think we wanted to run away from being too comfortable. I know being fashionable is being comfortable is important, but we wanted to ensure that when we release something, you know, we want to ensure that it's not your everyday shoe. Right. You want to buy, you know, buy something special.
It makes you feel good, right? Dressing
makes you
up
feel
a little
correct.
Bit.
Yes. Yeah, correct. I think kind of consumers are sort of like looking forward to go out. I myself have not worn heels for I think about a year, we've been launching heels. So we launched the Petite Moi and Sahil Man collaboration. We had like low heel. I think that sold within 30 minutes. We were surprised by the reaction, but it sold off. So we thought, okay. Probably customer wants something special, something different that could, you know, make them happy, you know, so to speak. Mm. So, yeah, we do have still sandals collection. I think our best sellers have always been the sandals, but we do have heels, and we're seeing customers purchasing heels. We don't know where they're going, but yeah, it's a good sign.
They're wearing them at home, Melissa, for Raya.
You know, one of the things that is quite interesting is the way that over the half century or so, people have gone from buying shoes and having them custom made, and that might have been the kind of dominant way things were done, to everybody buying basically things off the rack and squeezing or shoehorning their feet into whatever the company has provided. This return to more bespoke, customized footwear. I mean, is that something that you think Malaysians are moving towards, and will they be willing to pay the price of something like that?
Well, I think that depends. Interestingly, I think before mass, Malaysian had mass brands, we were producing customized shoes. We were, that's how, the industry was. And then back in the 70s and the 80s, there were a lot of small businesses doing customized shoes. And, they were based in maybe Ampang Park. I think as soon as maybe one of the bigger brands came in, they started to industrialize shoemaking, and shoes became a lot cheaper, and that's how business grew. So more and more artisanal shoemakers then closed down because it was getting more expensive to own a customized shoes as opposed to just walking to the store and getting a pair. Asking for a trend, I think there might be a small population who would love customized shoes. For us as well, we have customers inquiring, I love your shoes so much, I have a lot of them, but can you consider making customized, for my wedding? Sadly, at this point in time, I'm not confident of doing customized shoes because when we first started, we did offer that. But I think there's a lot of points or there's a lot of fit issues which I weren't able to sort back then. Right. So... yeah, but I guess that when you're paying a lot for a customized pair, you would want them to to fit nicely and perfectly without any issues. Right. As far as I took a stance of our shoes are not made for everyone. I have myself a 1 feet. I think that's how the brand started, and I wanted to make shoes for myself. So, and since then, every fit, every size, it would be based on my feet, so to speak. Right.
And I noticed that you also make sure that you measure every single shoe that you have. So, you put down the measurements. And I think that's really interesting, particularly for now that, a lot of people are moving to online shoe shopping, which requires the right fit and the right measurements. Melissa, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Thank you for spending your Hari Raya with us. Selamat Hari Raya to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Selamat Hari Raya and have a good one. Have a safe one.
Thank you. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.